listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries here in Stuart, Florida, and we welcome you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon that we've called for a lot of years, haven't we, Pastor Donna?
Raising the standard.
And what it needs to be done in the body of Christ in many arenas. And so we're honored to be a part of WCNO Radio, and we know that they had a successful praise-a-thon, and they're still lacking some funds, but as you listen to what they've got to say during the weeks, we believe it's going to all come in for the benefit of this program and many other programs to go out over the air. So we're honored to be here. Pastor Don, before we start teaching, why don't you open up and tell them a little bit? We've got the Bible Marathon coming up starting on Sunday on Veterans Day at 6 o'clock. We're going to start reading.
Okay, I'll just mention it for a few minutes. So maybe we'll mention it a couple times in case people come on, you know, half an hour later, because we're on for an hour from 12 noon until 1 o'clock every Saturday, Lord willing. Also want to mention that we have a service. We have a Shabbat service this afternoon at 2 p.m. at the Alliance Church in Stuart, Florida on Osceola Street. Amen. We'll get it straight, 445 Osceola, and that's right next to the hospital downtown. So I want to mention, too, that we will have the Bible Marathon is starting this Sunday, Veterans Day the 11th, at 6 o'clock in the evening. We have, from what I understand from Joanne Rodriguez and Eddie, that there's a lot of people already signed up. So what you need to do is you need to call, and we're going to need that number, too. Do you have the card, Miss Margie? We need to call. You need to call to sign up if you'd like to read, or if you want to come down and sit and listen, because we are going to be in the, well, I don't have to say we, I mean the body of Christ, you know, people from all different churches, and we are the church, aren't we?
Sure are.
We're going to be in the park right there in the Memorial Park. It's the government land there. At the Bandshell, and we will be reading there over microphones and speaker system, and we'll have the cross will be there, and those Ten Commandments will be there. And so, you know, we are declaring God's Word in Martin County and Stuart and in the Treasure Coast. And that's what we're called to do, because the Lord said to do this 18 years ago. 18 years ago. That sounds like a long time.
We thought it was going to be 1 year, didn't we?
It is a long time. Well, if you can go back 18 years, it was when the
towers were hit. Yeah.
And so a prophetic word came forth to do this for protection against, for our land, against terrorism. And so it's a mandate that's just continued on. And this year we have turned this over to Eddie and Joanne Rodriguez. Awesome couple. Awesome man and woman of God.
Really enthused about it.
Very enthused. And Joanne has the board, and you can call her. I'm going to give you your phone number in just a few minutes. So get your pen or pencil out and call her, because can you give God 15 minutes? You know, we need people, because it's around the clock. It's 24/7, and it takes 90 hours to read the entire Bible. We don't leave out any chapters or any verses. We read the entire Bible, and we will be reading from a large Bible that's on the pulpit, which we've read from many years, and it's the King James Version. And it's not hard to read. Some people say, well, that's hard to read. It really isn't hard to read. The only thing that's hard is when you read all those names in the Old Testament.
Oh, boy.
And they're the same in any Bible. They
that's
are
right.
hard.
Yeah.
And, you know, and people say, well, I don't want to stumble over the names. But, you know, God knows the
names.
God
knows who they are.
And we really don't know exactly how to pronounce them either. You know, they're Hebrew names, and most of us don't speak Hebrew, do we? But God, we get the word goes out and the understanding goes out whether the name is pronounced exactly right. But that seems what I always people say to me. And I even say that. I don't want to go up there and read all those
That's
names.
Right.
But you know what? It's God puts them there for a reason, and we need to know because there's so many people that have been important down through history in the Bible. And what I would say is you are just as important. Your name might not be in the Bible, but your name is in the book of life if you
Amen.
Know Jesus Christ. And so the theme for this year, usually every year the Lord gives us a theme. And the one for this year is living. It's life. God's word is life.
Amen.
And so now I'm probably not going to pronounce this right because I know Miss Wendy will be listening. She'll say, you forgot the sound of the K. So anyway, it means living.
Chi.
Chi. And a lot of...
C-H-A-I.
It's C-H-A-I. A lot of Jewish people wear a chi around their neck.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. It's not for good luck. It has a meaning. I'm just going to give you a little short. It means life. The number for that, for chi, is 18. This is the 18th year.
The
18th year.
Huh? Yeah.
And this is 2018.
Yeah.
So that means a lot to me.
And remember, Eddie and Joanne's been married 18 years,
Eddie
too.
Eddie and Joanne, which we didn't know, and they didn't know either. This is their 18th
anniversary,
and it happens to be on November the 11th, the day we start this Bible marathon. So
those are all signs along the way.
It was very prophetic and signs along the way that this is the couple that God would have this work turned over to, because it is a work of the Lord, and it's a mandate for this this time and for this county and this city and this Treasure Coast, because people come from all over. And, you know, people come from Fort Lauderdale, and we
That's
have
right.
people calling in to read from out of state. And so, you know, it is, and people have heard about it all over. And we even started a Bible marathon over in Venice. And I pray that there will be one in every county in Florida, and maybe every county in the United States. Because the very first one was started in Washington, D.C.
Right.
in 1990 with President George Bush Sr. He had a proclamation about the Bible reading marathon. Well, let me get back to the 18. This letter, this word is made up of two letters, two Hebrew letters. One is the Yod, or some people say a Yud. It's Y-O-D or Y-U-D. Some of the letters in the Hebrew alphabet are spelt more than one way. And that number is a 10. And it's the smallest Hebrew letter in the Hebrew language. Amen? And the other one is, it's 8.
Mm-hmm. Chet, New beginnings.
Eight. And that, of course, that one's new beginning. So we know 10 and 8 makes 18. Amen? So anyway, so what does this mean? Just a short thing. It means that life, first of all, and the Jews often give gifts and donations at this time in multiples of 18, which is called giving chi. What it means to me is we are giving our love by reading God's holy word. Here in Martin County.
That's right.
We are alive, amen, which is means the same thing. We are alive unto God because we have his word and his love, amen. Well, God loves his word, and he wants us to love his word, and he wants his word to go forth. And as we're reading this, we're facing Jerusalem, and I think about the scripture where it says God's word will not return void.
That's right.
It will come back to where it started, and it will bring protection for our land, amen. The two scriptures I have on what I'll be handing out, well, you'll be given this. It will be one in this 1 John 1:4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And, of course, everybody knows John 10:10, I hope. The thief cometh not but for to steal and
kill,
to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, chi, and that they might have it more abundantly. So I'm going to give the phone number for Joanne. You can call her, and you can sign up to read 15 minutes. Please come a few minutes, 15 minutes early, so you can be ready, prayed up. Her phone number is 561-670-0469. That's 561-670-0469. Amen. And please keep it in prayer. If you can't make it, please keep it in prayer, because we'll be down there starting Sunday night at 6 p.m. and we won't finish.
It's a marathon.
A marathon.
You run till you drop. No, or nobody's going to drop.
Nobody's going to drop. No. But anyways, it's around the clock, and it'll finish sometime Thursday, probably either in the late morning or early afternoon.
Right.
Amen?
That's good. So Lord avail God. Yourselves of that. I'll ask you again, can you give God 15 minutes of your time? Let's do it. Amen? I'd like to see a lot of pastors come out there and read too, Pastor Donna.
That would be great.
You'd have more. We only had a few last year, so we're asking you, can you give God 15 minutes to go and read God's holy word over our county and the city that we live in? So we're honored to be doing that. So,
you know, Pastor Gene, some people come more than once.
Oh, yeah. Some come every day.
Some people will read, and if we don't have a lot of readers during the night hour, some people will read for a half an hour.
Or longer.
Or an hour, you know. But we need lots of readers. So this way, everyone, no one's overstressed. And I'm just praying 1 year that, and maybe it'll be this year, that we have so many readers that instead of giving every reader 15 minutes, they would take maybe 10 minutes. Because, you know, you can bring your Bible study, you can bring your children, maybe you have preschoolers, even little kids can read for 2 minutes. They don't
Absolutely.
Have to read for 15 minutes. You can bring a group of children and they can take 15 minutes, or one child can take 15 minutes. Or you can bring some people from the nursing home.
That's right. Hallelujah.
Wow. I think of Mary Williams. Her and Jeff go to the nursing home all the time.
All the time.
And minister to people there, and they get born again and saved and touched and healed. You know,
That's
maybe
right.
there's some that you can bring out from the nursing home to come and read. What a blessing. Amen. Blind people can read. Peter and Lonnie, they read. And they read from
their
Braille.
They bring their Braille book.
Braille book. Amen.
That's right.
And they're not able to get up on the stage, but we take the mic down to them.
That's
you
right.
know, we accommodate whoever wants to read. They can read. We don't turn anyone away.
Nope.
I say, can somebody who's not saved read? Yes, because they might get saved.
Hallelujah.
And we have stories about that too, that people have come up there that have not been saved, and they start crying when they read God's word.
That's right.
Well, you know what? God's word, it's God's word that touches people, that brings life. We're talking about life, because if you're not born again, you don't have life, do you? You don't have eternal life. You may be alive right now, but you don't have eternal life. If you don't accept Jesus, you don't ask Jesus to come into your heart. So there'll be places there for anybody who needs prayer. We need help. Maybe you'd like to come and just be there to
pray
minister
on the
to
grounds
people.
And pray.
Pray on the
grounds.
And maybe you don't want to read, but maybe you want to come and be part of it. And you want to come and pray. You want to come and maybe minister to somebody. If you are a prayer warrior, it's open, you know. And so it's right here and right there on in the. The park, right there in the park at the band shell. Beautiful band shell right there on the corner. So it's an awesome time, but we need lots of people to come. So it's like 90 hours. That seems like a long time. From Sunday night at 6 o'clock until Thursday, around the clock,
That's
day
right.
and night, rain or shine.
It is a long time, really.
It's not going to snow, but I could say snow, but there's not going to snow.
But we've had some cold fronts come through and a lot of rain from time to time.
And a lot of rain, yes, we have.
You know, I'm reminded of one thing. Remember the man, Pastor Donna, 1 year that came out? He was sitting out there listening, and I think he was a little bit of what do we call it?
A little drunk.
A little drunk, I should say. And Donna went out and asked him if he'd like to read. He said, oh, no, I couldn't do that. And so finally, she went out and talked to him a little bit again later on, and he said, can I really read? She said, yeah, come on up. And you know where he was? You know where he was reading? He was reading in Psalm 51 about David's repentance from the sin that he was in.
He read about half of it.
And he started bawling like a baby. And so we don't know what happened with him. But something touched his heart. And he went out and sat down out there. And he was there for a long time. So you don't know. The word, the Bible says the word will never return void. It'll accomplish what God wants. And whatever it pleases him, it's going to happen. Amen.
It'll accomplish what he wants done.
So
I might mention one more thing, too, is to bring your chairs.
Yeah, bring some chairs.
Bring your chairs. Bring a lounge chair. Bring something comfortable. If you plan on staying there a while, bring your water. You know, there will be coffee and things like that, but it's not the time for parties. It's time for the read the Word of God.
That's right.
But, you know, the Word of God is like a party, isn't it?
Right.
It will refresh us, and it's like having a fresh drink of water. Amen. Also, some people will even bring a tent.
That's
and
right.
Maybe, you know, pop tent.
We had some people stay all night in a tent.
Yeah, we've had people come over down there, and they've, you know, those two-man tents or a four-man tent. And they set the tent up there. We can do that. It's on the grass. And they have spent the night, or two nights there, you know. And all I'd say is if you bring your children, make sure you keep your eye on them, because we're not there to babysit your children. Yeah. Or to have them running around the park. No, you have to watch your own children if you bring them, because we don't want anything to happen. We want everyone to be safe.
Amen.
So come. It's a wonderful time. And
you'll
we're doing
blessed.
A wonderful thing. God's Word, God's holy Word. How many places, how many cities, how many places can you go and know that God's Word is being read or being spoken? It's not just being read. It's being spoken. It's being declared. It's going forth. And it won't return void. We know that. But it's how many places in this United States do you know, how many counties do you know that are that do this every year, that have a proclamation from the city commissioners and also a proclamation from the county commissioners declaring this as Bible Reading Week?
Yeah.
Right on government property. How many places do you know that? You know, a lot of places there's protests.
That's right.
And they won't allow it because they don't want to be having protests. You know, good people
brother,
calling them.
Good brother of ours lives down in Jupiter area, and he, in Palm Beach County and all, and he said that would never happen down there.
But we can declare it can happen down there.
Yeah.
And it can happen anywhere, in any county. We just need
to
pray.
They can't even count votes down there the right way.
Well, that's something we need to pray about, too, that all works out according to the way God would have it to be.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Well, we're going to talk about, I was thinking about this week. I think we're going to talk about the love of God a little bit. I got some verses here and some thought on this. And so I want to go over to I want to go to Romans chapter 8 to start with. And we'll read a few verses here and talk about this. And then I got some verses in 1 John. You know, the Bible says that God is love. And he loves everybody. It doesn't matter what color you are, where you live, your ethnic background. He loves everybody. And, you know, we come because what? It says the Bible says he first loved us. And so then what? We chose to come and fall in love with him. But people have a very poor understanding, I believe, today of what love really is. We get it mixed up with a lot of things that's not according to God's word. And so love has been, I think, has been misused in so many arenas. But we want to talk about the true love of God that passes all understanding. So I'm in Romans 8 with you, and I want to start in verse 35, and we'll read a few verses right here. So have ears to hear what the Spirit of God will speak to you today. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Hear that? Who? Nobody. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Paul went through all this in his lifetime. He suffered. Think about it. He went through all this, didn't he? Huh? He had tribulation. He had distress. He was persecuted. There was famine places he went. Nakedness. Didn't have clothes sometimes, probably the right kind to wear in the cold weather or whatever, or peril or sword. Verse 36, as it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. If I remember, I think this is in Psalms chapter 44, verse 22. We don't have to read it. That's why this is it right here. Paul quoted it. Now, verse 37, he says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Aren't you glad he loved us that much? No matter what we're going through, no matter what the problem, he always will love us. All we have to do is turn to him. Now, verse 38 and 39 tells you all the things that Paul described about this love that God has. This was the best way he could do it. He says, for I am persuaded that neither death, you know, if he dies, God still loves him, nor life, if he's alive, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That pretty well sums it up, doesn't it, when you think about it? And, you know, I was thinking about this today a little bit, some things I'd studied in the past. You know, the loneliest place in the world is a human heart that is without love. Yes. It's a lonely place to be if you can't love somebody. And some people have a hard time loving anybody. But see, the love of God should be the one that will draw you to that place. And I thought about this too. You know, we talk about going to heart specialists. I had one to operate on me, take care of my heart. I thought about anybody can be a heart specialist. The only requirement is loving somebody with your true heart. Like, I love my wife with all my heart, okay? And we love people in the church and all. And so we want to have an unhypocritical love, don't we, for one another. Now, the verses that really stuck on my heart with all this was over in 1 John, if we'll turn over there.
You know, when you mentioned the word the heart,
uh-huh.
and you mentioned a surgeon,
uh-huh.
and you had open heart surgery,
yeah,
5 bypasses, and but I think about a surgeon who has studied the heart and who does that kind of work. He doesn't even know the person he's operating on,
yeah,
but he must love the heart because he's been trained in that area,
yeah.
So even as he looks at some stranger's heart, as he cuts them open to see that, you know, there's got to be a special love there to keep that person living. And that's how God is. He wanted us to be living. He wanted us to live.
Right.
So he sent a living sacrifice, his only son.
That's right.
So I think about the surgeon who opens up and who looked at your heart.
Yeah.
You know,
he took it out of my body, in fact.
It wasn't just a job, you know, yeah. Several hours.
5 hours I was under surgery.
Right. But he has to have that kind of love to be, it's not just, you know, you're not just cutting away and doing
right.
this and doing that, but you have the skills. But you know what? He has to have that kind of love to be able to keep this person alive that
right.
he doesn't even know.
That's right.
Well, just think about it. Jesus came, talks about it in John 3:16. I just everyone knows that scripture, but I like to read it. I don't want to leave one word out.
That's right.
Amen. Like when we're reading the Bible down there, I mean, I'm following along in the Bible marathon, and sometimes people will read one, leave out a word,
or skip a line.
Or they'll skip a line, or they'll look to the next page because maybe the wind blows. And so we say, have to say, oh, I'll go back to so and so. So there's always somebody following along and making sure we read everything.
Amen.
So we want everything. So we think about John 3:16. I think that's probably the first scripture most people memorize. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten
yes,
Son. Doesn't mean he just loved the world. He loved the people mm-hmm. of the world, his creation, his creator, the children of the world. That whosoever believeth in him, in who?
In Jesus. In Yeshua, Jesus.
Should not perish. But have everlasting life. There's that word life again.
That's right.
Kai.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So that was interesting what you said about the heart.
That's right.
Because, you know, God put them in the garden even because his heart, he wanted them in a safe place, didn't he?
Right.
And I think about somebody who has a heart, a good heart. They have a heart with a garden full of beautiful things.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And the Greek word for heart in the New Testament is the cardia. The heart, that's the inner man that God wants us to understand. So we're over in 1 John chapter 4, and I'm going to start reading in verse 15. And let's see what the Word of God says. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Now we go to verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. I marked that in my Bible years ago. God is truly love. Nobody can love like God does. He loves everybody, doesn't he?
Yes.
His love is just incredible.
Yes.
You know, he doesn't get upset. He doesn't turn from people. No matter what they do, he'll forgive them. That's the love of God. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Well, that's a pretty powerful verse, isn't it? Verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. One day we will stand before the Lord, and there will be a judgment come. We'll stand before him. Now, being as we're born again, it will be at the baby seat. We won't be judged for salvation. But what was our attitude, our motive? How did we treat people? What did we do? And so some people have fear about that, even though they're a believer. They shouldn't be. Now, verse 18 is key. There is no fear, what? In love, in true love, there's no fear in that. But perfect love casteth out fear. So you'll be able to stand before Christ and have no fear whatsoever, because he loves you and you love him. Because fear hath torment, doesn't it?
Yes.
He that feareth is not made what? Perfect in love. So we don't want to fear. Now, like 19, we love him because what? He first loved us. When we were sinners out in the world, you know, doing our own thing, had no thought about God, he still loved us. He loves everybody in the world, no matter where it's at, where they live, no matter what their background is, he loves everybody. He wants them to come. And I like verse 20 and 21. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Well, that makes a lot of sense, right?
Yes.
Now he says, I love God, and yet you see your brother, and you can't tell him that you love him.
And then verse 21, and this commandment have we from him, who's the him here? From the Messiah? That he who loveth God love his brother also. That's incredible, isn't it? So those are some powerful verses about love, and we know that God is love, and people need to understand what the love of God is truly all about. And no matter what we do, he's always there. He's always there. And so, you know, some people are just really void of love. They were never, some people in their families, they grew up and never had any love. You know, I think about all the years I grew up. I was adopted at 2 and a half. My parents, I know they loved me. They showed things, but I very seldom do ever remember them ever saying to me, I can't remember at all my dad ever saying that or my mom, I love you, Gene. And, you know, those are precious words. I've talked to people in our congregation a lot of times. You know, I look for guys that got a hat on that was in Vietnam, and I always go up to them, and I tell them, welcome home. And then I tell them, I say, you know that God loves you? And I've had some guys just stand there stunned because somebody said that, and a couple tears came out of their eyes because no one ever told them that. They were never welcomed back, you know. So people need to hear that they love you. You know, like I tell you, I don't miss a day. I don't tell you I love you. And I made that commitment when I married you because I didn't hear that. I said, I'm going to tell my wife every single day that I love her out of the purity of my heart. And we've done that for 57 plus years, right?
And always probably, more than once a day, for
yes,
sure.
That's right. And so, you know, you just, your heart goes out to people that are just starved for someone to tell them that they love them. And so if they don't know somebody that loves them, they can tell them, you can tell them about the love of God. It's always there. It's present all the time. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He's always there to let you know that he is on your side and he loves you with all of his heart. He wants you to come into him. Remember, he says, take my burden. It's easy. And my yoke is easy. Come unto me. Walk with me. And he look at all the things he's promised us in the Gospels. You know, he said he took away all of our sicknesses, all of our weaknesses, all of our infirmities. He took away all that for you and I because the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. And that's all we have to do is make that commitment to him.
John 3:16.
Right. But there's something when you make a commitment and you've been convicted by the Lord, and maybe it's in a church meeting, maybe it's at home, maybe while you're taking a shower, maybe you wake up in the middle of the night and you realize that you're a lost soul, and you just finally say, Lord, I want to commit my life to you. There's something, I can't explain it. It happened to me on the side of the road running one morning, but there's something that happens within your heart that all of a sudden it kind of melts and changes, you know? And I think a lot of things that I didn't like before I got saved. And then after I got saved, immediately I fell in love with those. I used to have a problem with the Jewish people down in Fort Lauderdale because of some things that they used to, you know, kind of rambunctious and all that. But once the day that I got saved, I fell in love with them. Now, where did that come
God
from?
God can change our hearts.
Where did it come from? It came from God. He dropped out in my heart that I have to love everybody. We love everybody, whether we, and we hope we can say it from time to time, but we got to keep in our heart and mind that God loves everybody, so we need to tell them that we love them as well. Amen?
Amen.
And we tell people that at church all the time. Don't tell me you love me, hypocritical, and then you go outside and start talking about me. That's not love at all.
No, it's not.
You got to tell them and believe it in your heart that you're telling, or they should believe it in their heart, I should say, that you're telling them that you love them and you mean it. Amen?
And, you know, this whole chapter really is talking, it has a lot to do with brothers and sisters.
That's right. Amen? Absolutely.
And so the other thing that that I would say is maybe we need to talk about that a little bit too. But, you know, in response, when you have God so loved us, but how do we respond? God wants us a relationship.
That's
God
right.
Wants us to, do we thank him?
That's right.
Do we praise him?
Mm-hmm.
Do we worship him? What do mm-hmm. we do? Well, think about what you do when somebody does something kind to you. You are always, you're thankful, you're blessing, you're,
yep.
But God wants that relationship back with him because he wants to hear from us. He went, and if you can read the Psalms, so what David said, you know, he went through a lot of distresses, didn't he?
Yes,
he did. And so did a lot of the other people in the Bible, and Paul did, and the prophets did, and everyone did, had problems. You know, there's not anyone who doesn't have problems, but always they came and they thanked the Lord, they worshiped him, even in the midst of situations and tribulations. It mentions tribulations here, didn't you? Didn't
yep,
you read that?
That's right. It was in Romans 8, yeah.
Praise the Lord. So I think also on the other side is, you know, how do we respond? How do we show God that we love him?
That's right.
And that would be could be another whole teaching.
Should
Amen.
Be a reciprocation, right, of the love that he's shown us. In fact, I just jumped down to chapter 3 here in 1 John. We ended in chapter or in, we were in chapter four. But before that, I just turned my page here, and I noticed chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." Amen. Well, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And he's all love, isn't he? Jesus is nothing but love. He just oozes with love in everything that he does. He loves people. So we have to keep that in mind.
God's
we
love.
We have a perverted thought of love in the world. You know, it's always, we always think about some sexual lust or something. We talk about love, people getting married. Well, it's more, it's not that. It's got to be an inner heart. You know, like I think about you and I now, 57 years, I was in love with you when I married you. But today, after 57 years, I love you even more because I know more about you. I know your heart. I know how you, things you do and the things you don't like to do. And I try to help you with those things and all that. But the thing is, the love continues to grow day after day after day after day. Amen.
I love you too, honey.
I know.
I love you too very much. And you know, it's interesting, even though you see my weaknesses and you see my strengths, but and we see weakness and strengths in our friends and our people, but what do we talk about? Sometimes we talk about things that are, we shouldn't be talking about. We should love people no matter,
what
their weaknesses or their strengths may be, because God loved us. He doesn't look at all of our weaknesses and things like that. He loved us, and he calls us sons of God.
That's right.
And the only way we can become sons of God is to ask Yeshua, ask Jesus Christ to come into our life.
That's right.
He gave his only begotten son that we could be adopted into the body, into the children of God, that we
That's
could
right.
be part of that heavenly, what you want to call it, family, you know, that heavenly family of God. Amen? Well, let's see, let somebody else share, Pastor.
I was just going to say one thing, we will. I was thinking, you know, when people come to the Lord, a sign that you really have been born again, there's something going to change in your heart, how you look at other people. And you know, some of them have tattoos all over and ring noses and all that, but see, God cares about that person regardless, and he has a plan and a purpose and a destiny for their life because he loves them. And so we have to look beyond that and love the person and let God take care of the rest of it.
Now, that takes me back to the surgeon.
That's right.
Because the surgeon is only looking at the heart.
That's right.
And God is only looking at the heart.
That's it.
But what do we look at? We look at all the outward things. You know, our eyes look at all the outward things, and we might be seeing all the things that don't look good.
That's right.
But, you know, that's not what God is looking at. And, you know, when they do surgery on you, they cover everything up, and all they have open there is that heart. So that's what we should be thinking about. We should be thinking, that's what God looks at, is the heart. Amen?
That's right. So that's, I think you all listening, if you're a Christian, let that be a test with you. Do you really love people the way God wants you to? Now, if we don't have that love, then we need to get with the Lord and ask him to forgive us and to impart that into us, you know, just to drop it into our lives, that we would learn how to love people the way God wants us to love them the right way. And tell them that your people need to hear it. How many pastors do you ever see on Sunday morning get up and say, "I love you all"? Well, we use the word charity, that's special love in the King James, for love between brothers and sisters and all that. How many of them get up and say, "Good morning, I charity you all with all my heart"? I do that quite often, yeah, Margie.
Yes.
And so people need to hear it. A little simple word, L-O-V-E, so simple, but yet so powerful. Amen?
Amen.
Think about all the children today that are broken homes, and they're with one parent one weekend, with another, and they don't really know what a family love's all about. And God wants us to understand what love is all about in that area. All right, Miss Margie, you got something you wanted to share there?
Yes, okay. I do. Praise the Lord.
We'll go to Margie then, and then we'll go to
Bob.
To Bob.
We got about what? We got 23 minutes, so we're doing good.
So just keep me over, okay?
Yeah, I'll just give you a signal. You don't have to ask me every time.
Okay? Praise the Lord.
Okay.
Thank praise you, Father. The love of God is what we're talking about today. So I have a few things also. And I just thank you, Father. Real love starts with God.
That's it.
Charity, the bond of perfectness. And I'm not going to read all the scriptures, but if you have paper and pencil, you could go to Colossians 3, verse 14. And love, charity is the highest form of love. Mm-hmm. And if we could go to 2 Peter.
Okay.
Second Peter 1,
okay.
And verse 7.
All right.
And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity.
That's really key, Marcy. There's a difference between brotherly kind. We can be brotherly in kindness, but there's a deeper walk when you cross over to the thing called charity.
Amen.
That's right.
True, Pastor Gene. The other scripture that I'd like to read would be 1 Corinthians.
Okay. Where are we going there?
13.
Okay, I was almost turned right there.
13.
The Holy
verse,
Ghost must be leading this, huh?
Yes, amen.
13 what?
Verse 13.
Okay.
And now abideth faith,
woo,
hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity, which
right.
is the highest form
That's
of
right.
love. Love covers any shade of gray,
mm-hmm.
uncertainty, and all worries and fears, as Pastor Gene has spoken. Love is greater than any obstacle or struggle. God's love is perfect, faithful, unconditional, forgiving. It's pure. No one loves like God loves.
Mm-hmm.
It's lasting. It's sacrificial.
Mm-hmm.
God's love knows no boundaries.
That's it. Hallelujah.
There is not one place too deep in our lives' circumstances that His love cannot reach us. There is nothing that we may have done in our lifetime that He can't come in and touch that area and bring us out.
Hallelujah.
And set us on a wonderful path, a life for Him.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I'd like to mention, the love of God, it's the creation of heaven and earth.
Mm-hmm.
He is the creator, which can be found in Genesis 1 and 2.
Uh-huh.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And in Psalms 119:64, the earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. Teach me thy statutes. God's love is his sound doctrine, his word.
Yes.
It is alive. God's love is the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. It's the teaching instruction of God, how to live a holy life. God's love is the tabernacle in the wilderness. And that can be found in Exodus 25 through 40. God wanted the children of Israel to have a place to come to. And God came down into the Holy of Holies behind the veil to meet.
Amen.
With the people.
Thank you, Lord.
God's love is in the Ten Commandments.
Yes.
Speak up, Margie.
And that's found in Exodus 20. God's love is in the Sabbath rest.
Hallelujah.
Genesis 2, verses 1 through 3, and Exodus 31, 12 through 18. God's love is in the feast of the Lord.
Absolutely.
All the feast of the Lord. It's all about Him. God's love is in the Passover lamb.
Ooh, yes.
And of course, this has already been read, but I had John 3:16.
Yeah, we've said that one a couple times. Yeah.
Okay. God's love is the healing blood of his only begotten Son, Yeshua, where there is salvation and healing.
Glory.
And if we could go to John 15.
That's a good one, boy.
John 15, verse 13.
Mm-hmm.
Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends.
Yes.
And the word does tell us that he calls us friends. We are no longer servants. We become his friends. And in Romans 5, I'd like to read also. Thank you, Lord. Romans 5 and verse 8. But God commandeth his love toward us, in that while we were sinners,
hallelujah,
Christ died for us. And in 1 John, thank you, Lord, in 1 John, please. 1 John 4, 9 and 10. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him.
Yes.
Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins.
Thank you, Lord.
God's love is having relationship with him. God's love is the Holy Ghost, the anointing, and as Pastor Jean has mentioned, having fellowship with sisters and brothers in Christ.
Amen.
God loves is that he is head of the church.
Yes.
Amen.
God's love is having communion.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find that in 1 Corinthians 11:17. It's celebrating the Lord's Supper. And there are other places that the communion is spoken. But if you'd like to even do communion at your home, it's 1 Corinthians 11,
yes,
verse 17. Praise the
God.
Lord.
Thank you, Lord. That was really good, Margie. I think about his love. You talked about the garden. Bob, you have something you'd like to share? But I was thinking about the garden that he placed Adam in, and all the things that he put in the garden. That was his love. I think about that garden, it's like his heart, you know?
Yes.
Glory to God. Well, this is Bob. He's going to be sharing. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Good afternoon. It's a delight that I can share with you. As we've been reading these verses, I've thought about the greatest act of love that ever happened. And Pastor Gene started us out in Romans chapter 8 and started reading at verse 35. But I'd like to jump back a few verses. And it's to verse 32.
Mm-hmm.
It says, he that spared not his own son,
yeah,
but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? The greatest act of love that ever happened was before the foundation of the world, which God created so that we could have fellowship with him, that God knew that we would be sinners, and he predestined the Lord Jesus Christ to die as the perfect sacrifice for our sins.
Thank you, Lord.
So that we might have life.
Amen.
Amen.
And he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? A holy God separated from sinful man, and the chasm was bridged by Jesus dying and paying the sacrifice for
hallelujah,
our sins. Over the years, I've asked hundreds of people, what is the very best thing that ever happened to you? And I've had a lot of men tell me the best thing that ever happened to them was the woman that they married. And I've had them say that it was their children.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them say that it was the job they got or a sports team that they played on. And I've asked women the same question. And more than 8 out of 10 said the best thing that ever happened to them was that their children and their relationship with their children. A far smaller number was their husband. And unfortunately, the very smallest number of all was their relationship with God,
with God.
And the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right. Neglected.
I am glad to say that the very best thing that ever happened to me was that a young fella, a young sailor, invited me to church. And there at that church, I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And my sins were forgiven.
Hallelujah.
52 years ago, and that I have come to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's good.
In 1 John chapter 5,
mm-hmm.
Pastor Gene finished reading with the last verse of chapter 4, but I'd like to go on and read the next few verses in chapter 5.
Okay.
And it says, whoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God.
That's right.
And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten mm-hmm. of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments.
Yes.
For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous.
So if you love him, it makes it easy, doesn't it?
It makes him easy. And, you know, I think of the Great Commission, the commandment that the Lord Jesus Christ, he told us that we needed to go out and tell other people the good news, the gospel, the message of Jesus dying for our sins
yes.
and living for us today.
Hallelujah.
So, thank you.
Amen.
Anything else? No? Okay.
All right, Pastor Don, it's your turn.
Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to flip this back around here on you, Pastor Gene. So we love his word.
Amen. Sure do.
And I just love 1 John. All these.
The whole book is wonderful.
Read the whole thing, you know, over and over again. Because we love, it says that we love the brethren, don't we? We love each other. And I come back to thinking about the people who are going to come and read. They love God's word, and they love each other, and many of them love us because we have done this. And it's not because of we aren't anybody, but it's because God's word is going forth. They love God's word, and they love God's people. And you know, I'm thinking about the gentleman who called me the other day, because, you know, I'm taking some calls because people call me all the time anyway. They're used to it. And then I'm asking him to call Joanne, which I'm going to give her phone number again in just a few minutes. What was his name? I can't think of his name. But there's this gentleman that called me from, he was in Jacksonville, went up there for tests because he has a disease in his lungs and they want to give him new lungs. Gasper. Hi, Gasper.
Hi, Gasper.
He's read 5 years.
Wow.
5 years. Well, when he called, he could barely talk. I mean, he could talk, but you could tell he was straining. And so he told me he was in Jacksonville, but him and his wife, Kathy, really want to read. And they say they just don't want to leave it out. They feel it's very important to do that. And he thought it was this past week they were reading. So he calls me again yesterday, and he was on his way back from Jacksonville, and you can keep him in prayer. They say he's not a candidate for lungs right now because the infection is so bad, but he wants to read. He's going to read. And so, you know, I'm sure they're already on the chart with Joanna, but you know, that's how much he loves God's word, and that's how much he says, I appreciate that you guys are continuing to do this, you know, because he knows we've had health problems, but it's God's word. See, people who love God and people who love God's word, they love each other. I was just so touched because how much he wants to read God's word. And you know, it's not easy for him to do that. It wasn't easy for him to speak to me on the telephone. I could feel the pain in his lungs. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I lift him up, and I thank the Lord that, you know, God will touch him. And many people come down there that it is a difficulty. I think of Nancy, 90-some years old, yeah. She's come. And, you know, the last time she was there, I don't think I can read. But she, when she got up there on that stage, all of a sudden her voice just came back, and she was able to read. And, you know, just the power of God just hit her. And she goes to the Baptist church, I believe. So the people come from all different denominations because we're the body of Christ. God doesn't say in this Bible, I don't see anywhere where it talks about different denominations.
Nope.
No. It's the Father loves us all.
All of us.
And we're all God's children, and we're in His kingdom. It's His kingdom. It's not some pastor's kingdom. No, it's the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom of heaven.
Yes.
And so people who love God love each other, because how can we say we love God if we don't love each other?
That's right.
And
that's
how can we love, right? How can we love God? We have, and this talks about this all through this book of John. It's about that relationship that we have with God, and also that we have with each other. Amen. So I'm sure that you have something else to say, Pastor Gene, but I just want to give the phone number again.
Go right ahead.
The Bible Marathon starts this Sunday, the 11th. That's on Veterans Day. There also will be a parade. I'm surprised they're having a parade Sunday morning. You know, a lot of people have churches, you know, but I'm sure there'll be a lot of people at the parade probably that don't go to church. But there'll be a parade.
Save them, Lord. Save them, Lord.
That's right. And you can go be a witness down there.
Yeah,
but
anyways, be a witness.
We'll be setting up at 3:00, and at group will be. Pastor Gene and I won't be doing a whole lot of setting up, but we'll be there. Amen. And so the reading will start at 6:00 in the evening, and it will go till the 15th. So you call Joanne, and you can sign up to read for 15 minutes. It's area code 561-670-0469. And if you forget the number or you don't have a pencil, you all have our phone number. You can always give us a call, or you can call the radio program here, and they can give you her number as well. Okay, Pastor Gene, I'm going to let you
I was just thinking about something at the Bible Marathon that happened several years ago, and I thought it was very special, because when we read the Word of God, when we're reading this, we have this because God loves us. God preserved all this, all these years, so we could find out how much God really loves us. And so one night, you all heard, probably most of you live in the area, you know Pastor Daryl Orman. He's got a Baptist church downtown Stuart. And one night his wife Kim and her daughter was come down to read, and they were reading in Psalms. And as they were reading, they both were standing there at the pulpit, and they began to cry. And here they are, you know, they're born again, they love God, but there's something about reading the Bible. It's like taking a warm shower. There's a refreshing that comes. And that's because of the love that we have in our heart for God. And He gave us this Word that we can mill over, study it, munch on it, put it in our hearts, and it gives us direction in everything that we do. And it gives us a peace that passes all understanding. And what it tells us over there in Philippians chapter 4, you know, we have to make all requests known and with thanksgiving. And He said if we would be willing to do that, He would give us a peace that passes all understanding. And He said He would keep our heart in Christ Jesus. And that's the love that we have. And so we're trying to convey this on this program today over the air for all of you. You know, a lot of Christians walk with God for a long time, and they kind of forget about the relationship, the love that we have. You know, like you and I, you know, if we don't have a relationship, we're married, we just have no relationship, what does it really mean? But we know what each other wants and needs and all that, and our cares and our needs. Well, God knows that about us. He knows everything. He knows before we even ask what we need.
Yes.
And so He wants us to reciprocate. He gave us His love, and He wants us to return it to Him. And there's a lot of different ways, you know, reading His Word, praying, talking with Him. There's just a lot of different ways that we can show our love for Him. It's not so much doing, but it's the heart. It's the heart that we show to God. You know, David cried out, "Let my words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to You." Now, he was concerned about that. He wanted his heart to be right, because he said, "Who will ascend into the hill of the Lord? He that has a pure heart and clean hands." That's what he was after. He was a man after God. Even after all of his sin, think about this, you listeners. He had three terrible sins he committed. But think what happened. After all that, if you read the Bible, it says that after all that, and he came to God and asked for forgiveness, he was a man after God's own heart. So no matter what we've done, where we've been, or we think maybe we're not qualified, or we don't deserve it. See, we don't deserve anything, really. It's all about Him. And we just come to Him and turn it back over to Him. And, you know, and things can change. And people getting a lot of mully grubs and all that for years
or even longer over certain things. A good God friend of ours, a good friend of his wife died, and he blamed it on God, that his wife died. And he's been suffering with that for years. Well, he don't realize the love of God. God, you know, God didn't take his wife. Something happened, she died. We live in a fallen world, you know that. And so I think it's amazing when we think about all the things that people get upset about, and they kind of just, they forget about God. God should be in the center of every equation that we have. God has to be the center of the equation. He's the one. He's the one that makes it all happen. And so if we just turn our lives over to him. So if you're listening today and you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, we're asking you today just to, you can get saved anywhere, at home, in church. You don't have to be in a church, but anywhere. Just ask him to come in and take over your life. I did it, and I wasn't in no church building and all. But the thing is, you know, all you have to do is ask. And when you do, ask and you shall what? Receive is what the Bible says. Receive. And anyone that calls upon the name of the Lord, it tells us in Romans 10, what? Shall be saved. And so we have to keep that in mind. So we're asking you to make a decision today. It's the most important decision you'll ever make. More important than who you marry, where you live, what kind of job you have. It's the most important decision of your entire life. And I waited 42 years before it happened to me. I could have died when I was in Vietnam. I could have been killed, and I wouldn't have known the Lord.
That's right.
So today, the Bible says, today, not tomorrow, today is the day of salvation. So if you've been touched, we just ask you to call. Let us know
that you
made a decision for Christ today, and we could pray with you on the telephone.
Amen.
So we thank all of you listeners here today for listening to this message about God's love. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God.
Go ahead,
this
honey.
Is his record, which
That's
we'll be
record.
Reading. Talks about that in this First John. This is his record. So we need to get in God's word. Amen.
Sure.
Well, this is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. We're just blessed to be here on WCNO every Saturday, Lord willing, from 12 noon until 1 o'clock. Also, you can go back and listen to this on podcast on WCNO.com if you'd like to listen to it again, or you can give us a call. And we just are blessed to be able to be on here, and we're just blessed to be able to do this 18th Bible Reading Marathon again this year. So please join in. Don't miss it. I mean, people have said, I wish I would have been doing this all along, but now I'm going to do it for the first time. This may be your first time.
Yeah.
Well, we're just blessed to be on here, and we just thank the Lord, and we say what? Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace,
and rest.
Glory to God. I have got time to give our phone number.
Do that.
It's area code 772-285-7007. And
we can tell them to come and visit us this afternoon
at 2 o'clock.
If they have never been in a Sabbath service, come, and we'll be glad to speak with you and spend some time with you, and you'll be blessed with what you hear and see. Amen.
And remember, this is the year of life. Life. Get born again. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of prophecy.